welcome back to the Green Front. Before we get to our next guest, and it's connected to our next guest, I want to just mention that I did attend and speak briefly at the Mother's Day rally in San Francisco. Similar rallies taking place in 24 other cities, and that is to kick off the I Matter March, and that is a movement appropriately led by teenagers who are very much entitled to be speaking up and shouting out about what they're inheriting in terms of the ravages of climate change. Alex Lores was on the program last week. He is the founder of that important campaign and also one of the leaders behind that lawsuit filed to say all children born and unborn have a right to a clean environment and a stable climate. So we'll be following that as it goes forward. We had a pretty small crowd, but what do you expect on a Mother's Day, Sunday? We had nice weather, had about 100 people for the march and rally. Unfortunately, Ted Turner didn't think the turnout was large enough for him, so he walked with us but then left before he got a chance to speak. That was his choice, and I would tell him that if he really wants to see more people turn out to climate change rallies and such, he probably has some connections at CNN. He should tell them that we need to have this kind of programming like you hear on Progressive Radio Network, shows like Mind, Sea Change Radio, Eco Shock on mainstream platforms. That, of course, is part of the problem. But I talk about that a lot because that's my passion. That's my particular focus is trying to green media, bring consciousness and content to media. And want to just highlight a group that just got an official nod from George Mason University. They are the recipient, along with Naomi Oreskes and her fabulous book, The Merchants of, what is it, Merchants of Deceit, I think. We'll get the name of that in just a moment. They're doing fabulous work at high schools around the Bay Area, and I hope throughout the state and maybe even the country now. I'm talking about the Alliance for Climate Education. Matt Stewart is with them on the Green Front now. Thanks for joining me, and congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Naomi's book, Merchants of
Doubt.
Deceit, is it?
She's Merchants got a fabulous
book. Merchants of Doubt. Thank you very much. Let's talk about the story behind your group, ACE for short, Alliance for Climate Education. You can find them at acespace.org. You are based here in Oakland in the Green Bay area, and your organization has been around how long? Whose idea was it? Where do you get your funding? And then I'll talk a little bit about how many presentations you've made, how people can, you know, sign up to be one of the recipients, and I'll tell you some comments I've heard from people who have attended, which I think will make you quite pleased.
Great. Well, first of all, thanks for having us. It's a real honor to be on the show, and it's a real honor to be to come home, bring home this award, the Climate Change Communicator Award from George Mason. You know, we were up against some real awesome organizations, including the Union of Concerned Scientists, and you know, it's a real testimony to the work we're doing, to be able to somehow edge them out. I'm not quite sure how it happened, but we're going to enjoy it.
Also, Joseph Rome of Climate Progress, my favorite climate blog. So he gave you guys a nod. He was in the running as well. And a lot of good choices. And good for George Mason University for having a climate change communication department. I look forward to having them on the show soon as well.
Yeah, same here. So a little background on ACE. We're the Alliance for Climate Education. We're the national leader in high school climate science education. We go to schools nationwide and deliver a multimedia, awesome, animated presentation on climate science and solutions. Nobody else is really doing this right now, and we've reached about 830,000 students in the past 2 years. So that's how long we've been in operations. We're, you know, you mentioned we're here, we're actually in the San Francisco Bay Area, and based here, but we have offices and, you know, we're kind of moving them around, but essentially we're in 10 regions nationwide. And we have a team of remote educators, that go to schools and deliver this awesome presentation. So we educate the students on what's going on. You know, there's a lot of confusion about how climate science works. You know, time and time again, you see climate change comes in at the bottom of what people care about, and concern has declined over the past 6 years, 4 or 5 years. And a lot of that is it's been getting really confusing. It's hard to understand. So we present climate science in a way that sticks with high school students, and we're reaching people who are inclined to care about the environment and have not made up their mind in any one way. You know, they're pliable, they're listening to fresh ideas. So we present them with science, and we make it fun, we make it compelling, and we make it solutions-oriented. You know, there's often a tendency to go doom and gloom on, oh, the world's going to end, and, you know, scare people, and it's just not a whole lot of fun to be around. And while we certainly don't trivialize the issue, we like to focus on solutions. It just gets people out of their seats. It tickles the imagination. You know, it's a very strong motivating force. So we make the science clear. We see this awakening moment in students where they just go from being forced to sit in an assembly to ready to take on the world. Mm-hmm. And then we help them take on carbon-cutting projects at school. So after the assembly, we help them either start up and act, we call them action teams, but they're environmental clubs. We help them fire those up, or, you know, often there will be an environmental club that needs to kick in the pants, and we'll help them get organized, get some projects going. We hold leadership trainings a couple times a semester in each of our regions, and that's a 4 to 6 hour weekend kind of turbo session with students to really give them the tools to get things done. And, you know, we've been getting some incredible stories. One of my favorites is actually 2 weeks ago at PowerShift, which is, I'm sure you know that it's the climate Super Bowl that just went down in D.C. Two of our students, who Shreya and Daniela, there are two girls who attend the Harper School in San Jose, California. They 2 years ago, they were sitting in an ACE assembly, didn't really know anything about climate change, got excited, started an action team, applied for an ACE action grant. They installed smart meters at their school, and just by monitoring their energy use, they were able to see a couple of anomalies, like the energy use was really high on the weekend, which didn't make any sense. So they figured out that people were leaving the air conditioning on the weekend. I mean, this is just basic.
Are you kidding?
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't get that hot here during the school year. I grew up about 10 miles from San Jose, so that is outrageous.
Yeah, it's just one of those things that was always happening, and, you know, the program was set, and nobody, you know, maybe there was a high school basketball game one night or something, and they set it on to go on then. You know, it's just basic dumb stuff that everybody is happy to get rid of. Exactly. They reduced their high school electric bill 13%, which, you know, really adds up for a large facility over years, which it's been. So Shreya and Danielle since then have helped several other schools around San Jose institute programs like that. They've actually started their own nonprofit. They went to PowerShift and spoke in front of a crowd of, you know, 7,000 or 8,000 people about their project. And then my favorite part, they headed over to the White House and met with Anish Chopra, who's the Chief Technology Officer of the United States. And he grilled them on their technology and their results. And he wants to, he's very interested in scaling up a program like this nationwide, because if you've been paying attention to the news, saving money is a big deal right now. This is certainly, you know, that's pretty amazing stuff for high school students to do. And, you know, we're seeing these incredible stories come out. And a lot, you know, it all starts with learning about how climate change works, which is just not clear for a lot of people.
Not clear. And then there's, you know, the merchants of doubt. So there's unfortunately, the fossil fuel industry is spending a lot of money trying to keep things status quo and business as usual. And then there's the right-wing media trying to confuse us all. So some of it is, yes, it's confusing, and some of it is intentional. And that's the part I think we really have to root out and shine the spotlight on, because they are shedding more heat than light at a time when we just cannot afford that. This is not a game, you know, playing politics with the planet. So not to go off there, because I talk about that a lot, but I do want to say that PowerShift was amazing, so much so that I ran Bill McKibben's entire talk during the program, as well as Phaedra Ellis-Lampkin's talk, and Jones was there, Al Gore was there, and lots of excited teens. So, you know, you guys are inheriting this problem. You are going to be getting it, whether you, of course, didn't create the problem, didn't deserve it. My generation, you know, your parents, we baby boomers, we've known for some time that we're using way too much, you know, energy and resources, wasting a lot, as you pointed out. That's how I got into this with Trash Talk 12 years ago, just hating how much we waste in terms of solid waste, and that led to water waste, energy waste. So it's so important, and yet I really feel that we baby boomers should not, you know, just dump it on you guys. We need to do our part to help dig out. So I love interviewing people like you and hearing about what you're doing, but I just don't think it's fair to, you know, say, here's this problem, you guys go solve it. And too many of my peers, frankly, and their parents who are so concerned about their children's future, don't quite factor this in. So that's sort of my piece in all this. And I understand President Obama met with some of the teens at PowerShift. So I don't know if the two teens you mentioned were part of that group, but how exciting is that to get the president's attention and to also get the president's ear to say, don't forget about these issues. These energy issues are critical. Please, you know, do your part to lead us as we voted for you, many of our parents, anyway, their parents, us, you know, knowing he was going to be tackling these very large energy and climate issues.
You know, it's exciting to really contribute to the national conversation around climate change and energy savings and all this great stuff. And like I said, you know, what's been great for ACE, just being able, you know, there really is, we're filling a hole. I mean, nobody else is doing this. There's just,
absolutely.
Climate change is a pretty new, I mean, it's for a lot of people, it's a relatively new concept. Schools do not, there's a real patchwork system in place of standards and what students are learning in school. You know, there's ongoing perceived debate about you know, the science. So we kind of bring it all together in a program that makes it clear and relies on the science. And just, you know, the biggest thing we really focus on is focusing on students and the connection between climate change and their lives, because that's kind of a hidden thing that you don't get. Right, it's several orders of magnitude away from, you know, you're a kid, you're going around your life, you're going to school, you got a football game, there's this girl you're kind of interested in, you don't know what to do, and it's hard to see, you know, the effects of climate change in all that. So we try to demystify that and then clarify, you know, to live today needs energy. Energy is mostly coming from fossil fuels. Fossil fuels leads to climate change and other effects that you may not be so hot on. So we just try and make that connection extremely clear. And a lot of people just never thought, I mean, I'm sure your listeners are pretty up to speed on this, but a lot of people are not. And, it's, you know, it's also an age where you're thinking about yourself a lot. And so we really try to tap that. We're like, well, take a look at your life. You're playing a video game. You're just trying to go to school. You're
charging your cell phone. Your computer's plugged in. That's energy. What would
exactly.
you do without, you know, those gadgets?
Right, exactly. And we just try and tie it into your life a little and explain, hey, you know, and you know, we're fair about, you know, fossil fuels. Industrial Revolution powered a lot of great advancements for human civilization and, you know, took us out of some hairy places. But, you know, we also say with every invention there can be downsides and, you know, it's important to look at the whole thing. So, you know, we don't try to scare anybody. We don't try to get anybody fired up. We're not involved in politics. You know, we really are focused on the science and helping students find solutions at their school. And the big thing that excites me is, you know, really contributing to a generational shift and just making it cool to go green. You know, making it that, like, this is your default behavior. It's funny, I was talking to a friend who was visiting from another country, and he was out, you know, with some teens and his friends and their kids. And he went to, you know, throw out a plastic bottle, and they just went totally berserk on him. And, you know, he felt he was doing a good thing by throwing it out. And you know, it's just changing those social norms, which are, you know, pretty common here in the Bay Area and probably a lot of your listenership. But, you know, making that really pervasive everywhere.
Yep.
That's what we're after.
Yeah, that's why I talk about, you know, in addition to being on wonderful places like the Progressive Radio Network on the Internet, you know, attracting people who are very concerned and educated on these issues and want to learn more. God bless them, us, those of us who know what we're dealing with and want to know more. And all of us are still learning because it's a crisis, multiple crises still unfolding. We need to see this on CNN or MSNBC. You know, 95% of all traditional talk radio, meaning terrestrial, land-based radio stations, not satellite or internet, are right-wing talk shows that are not only not discussing the problems around climate change and energy issues, but they're doing damage, reversing that effort by saying, you know, questioning the science and the doubt. Well, I'm glad you teenagers see the truth and believe 98% of the world scientists who say we are having some problems here, we need to do something about it, because just skip all that other stuff. It's just static getting in the way, and I do think we need to get that out of the way, because too many Americans are getting information from these traditional television radio stations that, you know, are telling them, you don't need to worry. Worry about these tree huggers, these nuts, you know, and I've just gone on too long. I think it's time to shut them down. But that's my, again, that's my passion.
And that could, sure, and I hear you. And mean, that comes into our, what we really find is keeping it positive and exciting about new ideas.
Uh-huh.
Can help you cut through that. You look at the possibility in renewable energy. You know, you look at the possibilities in all these new gadgets. I mean, we post stuff on our Facebook page all the time. I saw something the other day we posted on there about a new cell phone that can be powered from the energy created by your voice. I mean, that's
wow,
amazing. Yeah, I don't have any idea how that would actually work.
I don't either.
As you picked up, I'm a big talker, so that would be, I would have the world's most charged cell phone.
All right, so let's start talking to everybody we can find about climate change and say, while we're talking, we're actually creating clean energy. I like that.
Exactly.
And let's get the dirty energy voices off.
People just get excited about that and want to create. You know, get you thinking, wow, I didn't even realize that was remotely possible. And, you know, it just helps people think creatively and really think about, you know, what's coming next. What is the innovation economy of tomorrow going to look like? You know, the reality is that people are concerned about the economy. Let's tie that in all together.
Absolutely. And what's more American than innovation and ingenuity? And if we just, you know, can get past, you know, the interference that this is or is not real, and what do we believe, science? Since when don't we believe science? And just get on with the solutions, I think we'll be doing your generation and your children and grandchildren a big favor. So I just want to thank you for the work you're doing. And I found out about you from, I have a 16-year-old daughter and her friend who goes to another school, saw the presentation early this year and just said it rocks. It was amazing. Best assembly I have ever seen. So I'm trying to get you guys to my daughter's high school in San Francisco. Hopefully that can happen soon. And this is free to schools, so they don't have to worry it's going to cost anything. I think you do it in one period, so you're probably in and out in an hour. You get people thinking and talking, and, you know, there's so much to learn that I just think every high school should be mandatory. That's my opinion.
Well, thank you. Yeah, anyone can book a free assembly. Go to acespace.org. And we'd love to come to your school in any of our regions. And even if you're not in our region, we sometimes do what we call blitz weeks. We have our educators strategically placed around the country in locations where we can basically get to the most people. So that often will leave out rural communities, which we don't like doing. So we'll periodically go on, you know, we run the South for 2 or 3 weeks. We were in the mountains in the West for a couple of weeks. We'll occasionally send someone out to go get a bunch of schools in one swoop. So if anyone out there is interested in having ACE come to your school, or you know a high school student or teacher or anybody at all related to the high school, please ping us, and we'd love to work something out.
Wonderful. And I wish there was such a thing for we grown-ups, but I guess there is. That's Al Gore's climate Change the Climate Project, which I'm part of, so that slideshow is pretty compelling too, but not as much fun as yours is with all the music and the multimedia effects.
Who doesn't like doing stuff that rocks, right?
You guys rock. I've heard it, and I want to see it firsthand. So let me know next time you're doing your presentation in the Bay Area. I will be there, get you to my daughter's school, and tell everybody I know about ACE, the Alliance for Climate Education. Thanks so much for your great work, Matt Stewart, and your colleagues.
Thank you very much.
Your young colleagues there. Gives me hope for the future and inspiration to continue educating, again, my fellow baby boomers, because we are going to live to 100, so we have lots of consumer choices to make every day. We can have a positive or negative impact on our kids' future, and even if you don't have kids, on your planet. So these are the kinds of things I like to highlight, what's happening that is moving in a positive direction. We're out of time for this edition of The Green Front. I hope you've enjoyed this program. If you joined us midway and you want to hear the entire interview, this half and also the first half with Will Cerny, you can listen to the Progressive Radio Network's archives or go to my website, thegreenfront.com. That does it for this week. See you next time. Have a great green week.